Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see all of you today. I didn't know if we'd have this good of attendance or not, but it is good to see everyone. And this is definitely Georgia weather, because you just really never know what you're going to get. And I think after this gets out of here, there's flash flood warnings again. So ground's going to be good and mushy, rotten, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be going to be pretty rough out there, but it'll eventually, the sun will shine. And then one day it'll be hot in Georgia and the humidity will be 100% outside and we'll be saying, oh, I wish it'd cool off, right?
Amen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the Lord knows what we need and we'll take it as we get it. It is good to see all of you here today. You that are visiting with us, we have several visiting families with us today. We're glad to have you guys with us and I want to invite you to come back and be with us anytime you can. These ladies are going to play for us. Would you please stand, take a moment of time, shake hands with someone seated around you, cross the aisles. Thank you for all the songs this morning in choir and ladies for playing for us. If you have a Bible with you today, or I'd like to invite you to turn along and read with us in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8. We're going to look at several verses. Verses 26 through 39, actually, but I'm not going to read all of those, or I'm not going to read them right at this very moment. This particular story is a very uncommon encounter that Jesus has. Very uncommon. And just to begin, I want to read a couple of verses here, beginning at verse 26. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he had went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And I'm going to stop reading right there. Now, you already see that's an uncommon encounter that Jesus has with this particular man. And I want to begin by saying to all of us that sometimes we're going to encounter people who are totally countercultural to what we consider the norm. Especially more so, I think, today than probably in a long, long time. I mean, if you are anywhere around my age, 15 years younger, 15 years older, you grew up in the areas of Forsyth County, Cherokee County, Pickens County, and stuff like that. You didn't see a whole lot of countercultural stuff. We were just pretty much all the same rural people just out in a working class environment, and you didn't encounter just a whole lot of really, really different things or things that you were not accustomed to or used to. But now, seemingly, the world that you and I live in, you're going to encounter people, ideas, and customs that you're just totally not used to. The question is, when we face those times, and you're going to, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to respond? And I hope that if anything, this uncommon encounter that Jesus has with this man, I hope it will teach you and I how we should respond also to folks that are not like us. I want to begin one of the things, and sometimes when this is never, ever a time to just kind of make you think, oh, well, our preacher really knows his geography and stuff like that. That's absolutely not it at all. But this particular story, it is important to understand when it tells about them being in the regions of the Gadarenes and he has crossed the Sea of Galilee and come into that area. Why is that so important in this particular story? That is a non-Jewish area that Jesus has went into. This is one of the first times in his ministry that he enters into an area that is not predominantly Jewish. This is a predominantly Gentile area. He has crossed. It's on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. So they had been in the Galilean region on the west side. Now they cross the Sea of Galilee and they come to this area that's called the Gadarenes, and that's who lives there. And this area was predominantly inhabited by Gentile people. Could there have been Jews living in and around there? Perhaps some, but it's highly unlikely, and you'll understand better and see why as we go on. I want to share with you, and a lot of you here know this story. Some of you do, some of you don't. This happened just really a few weeks ago here on a Wednesday night here at the church, and I'll just tell you how the story went. And this is kind of humorous, I guess, too, here. Braden Grantham comes into the fellowship hall, and I'm sitting up there, and he says, "Ronnie, there's this random man out in the parking lot that'd like to see you." And I said, "Okay." And so I get up, and I go outside, and I encounter this man, and he's countercultural, okay? I didn't understand a lot of things that was going on and things that was happening, but this man had come up. He had no food. He was going through cancer treatments, living inside of his pickup truck with his wife. Tattoos. He had the tear tattoos here under his eyes, and I'm not getting into tattoos. That tattoos don't bother me. His tattoos didn't bother me till I get back, and I'll get to that in just a moment. So anyway, this man needed help, and we gave him food here from the church. That's the right thing, always the right thing to do when somebody's in a situation like that. Some of the ladies got plates and made them for them, and we took them out there and we gave them to him, and others helped me with some financial means in order to buy him some gas. And I left and I went down here to the service station. We filled up the man's truck with gas. And then while we were doing that, Lance was with me. And we went over there and we talked to the man. And both of us shared with him our testimony and who Christ was and what Christ meant to us. And I told the man that I can offer you food, I can offer you things that help you through life, but the greatest thing you need in life is a relationship with Christ. And I would have felt like I had been a failure if I hadn't went that far with it. I mean, that's what I'm supposed to do. I can shell out money out of my pocket all day long, but if I've not really told you what you really need in life and what is most important in life, all the money that I could give you is really not worth a whole lot. So we done that, and I asked the man if he understood, and he said he did, and I told him, I asked him, if you don't know who Christ is, I pray that you will take the opportunity of time, because all I can do is tell you about him and tell you what he will do, and then ultimately it's up to you as to what you do with him. So that was a very countercultural type setting and situation. And then I'll just tell you this real quick. I come back in, and there's this group of ladies. They're always sitting at this one table together eating, and I walk in the door, and I'm bombarded by them, you know. And they begin asking me about these teardrop tattoos, and were they open tears or were they closed tears? And I said, "What are you talking about? Were they filled in solid or were they open?" And I said, "I don't know." But come to find out, that has a significance. It means whether somebody has either actually participated in a murder or witnessed a murder. And there's a lot of symbolic stuff behind all of that and everything, but I didn't know that. And I hope I would have still went and done everything I'd done for the man. Had I known all that, I think I would have. I know I would have. It's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. And you and I, we're going to encounter people like that sometimes. And that's what Jesus has done when he comes along and he enters into this Gentile territory. He is among a group of people that are totally different than to what he has been accustomed to. Even though there was folks that opposed him in the area and the region that were customs that he were accustomed to, But yet when he gets over into this area, it is a totally different place. And there is this man there. Now imagine this man, and this is why I say that you and I will run into countercultural people. There is a man there, and first of all, here is a Jew. Jesus is a good Jewish man, and he enters into a Gentile area. Now what all is wrong with this picture and where Jesus goes to? Well, just about everything, if you want to know the truth. He enters into a Gentile region, which even good Jewish men considered Gentiles just to be unclean people and didn't really associate with them. Also, we understand that this was a region where they had hogs, pigs. They had a herd of them. That was also something else that a good Jewish man just would not associate himself with. And then the other fact was, here was this man who had dwelt and lived among the tombs, and that means that he lived basically out in the graveyard. Now that was another thing that a good Jewish man wouldn't associate him with, him because they equated the tombs with uncleanliness. So Jesus really steps out of his comfort zone and what he is accustomed to and what he is used to when he enters into this area and has this very uncommon encounter with this man who is also, listen to this man is also possessed by demons. Demon possessed. Jesus gets there. When he gets to this occasion, and we've read to you where he's over there, he's encountering this man now. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God?" And I've said this many times, and I'll reiterate it over and over again. This is the group, the devil is the group that always gets it right about who Jesus is. When you read through the Bible, you will always find when demons were around, anytime that Jesus cast out demons out of somebody, they always recognized and knew who Jesus was. And so many times, the folks that should have known who Jesus was had absolutely no clue who Jesus was. But this is the group that you will always read all throughout the New Testament. This is the group that always gets it right and understands exactly who Jesus is. And Jesus asked him then, he asked this man, he says, "What's your name?" And that's in a way Jesus was trying to humanize this man that had been running around naked. He had been chained and broke the chains. He lived in the tombs. Just done a lot of, I'm sure, peculiar and bizarre things. Do you ever see people that do peculiar and bizarre things? Well, just open your eyes in the world that you and I live in, and you'll see peculiar and bizarre things now in the world that we live in. But Jesus asked him a name, and he says, the man really don't even speak for himself, but rather the demon inside of him speaks and says, "Legion." Now, legion in that day would have been 6,000 men that would have been soldiers. But Jesus is trying so desperately to humanize this man, I guess you might say. And he asked him his name. And names in that day, in particular, they did have significance. They usually were a reference to something in some way or another. I mean, Jesus himself gave nicknames. You remember, it's James and John Jesus nicknamed them the Sons of Thunder. And we don't know why he done that other than perhaps, and I think this is probably a good thought. They probably had pretty serious tempers and perhaps an eagerness to always fight. You know, that was the two guys that when Jesus was in an area and and the folks wouldn't cottoning to him too good and wouldn't receiving his word and wouldn't doing what they thought they ought to. And James, no, well, you know what, Lord, let's just call down thunder on them. Let's just call down fire on them and just consume them all. That'll be the answer, you know. So that's perhaps where the name comes from. I don't know. And then you know, you've got Thomas, which is called Didymus, and that means it's Thomas is a twin, and that name signifies and means that somewhere this man had a twin, but this guy couldn't even answer, and the demon just answers and says, Legion. And what it means here is this man was fully possessed by demons. Now, I know today that a lot of times even in churches today, people don't want to talk about stuff like that. People want to say, oh, you know, that's just, they were having psychological problems, and we're a society today, then we understand what people that have psychological, this is not psychological problems, folks, at all. People do sometimes have psychological problems. Yes, anybody can. Good Christian people can have a psychological problem. But this is somebody who is possessed by demons. You don't think people in the world today can still be possessed by demons? Do you think somebody like Hitler just had a little bit of psychological problems and maybe a dad whooped him too many times when he was growing up? Or do you think that was a man that was possessed by demons? I would venture to say that he's a man that's possessed by demons. You don't kill that many people and there not be something really messed up in you. So there's all down through the course of history and time that you could certainly look out and see people that I would say falls in the category of being folks that are possessed by demonic forces. And I think those forces, Paul said that our battles is not with flesh and blood, didn't he? But evilness and wickedness in high places and in the spiritual world, that in the spiritual realm that you and I do not even, we're not even able to see with the natural eye, but it's those forces of evil that are constantly around Christian people. I hope nobody in here would find that hard to believe. So Jesus meets this man and he tells him who he is, or gives him a name that associates what's going on with him in his life and what's happening to him. And then it gets into this story, and this is where so many people get just like the people in that day. They want to dwell on these story of the pigs and what happened to these hogs and everything. It don't matter what happened to the pigs and the hogs, okay? You know, some people want to dissect a passage of Scripture. I have no idea why Jesus chose. Well, they chose it actually, but why he went ahead and let it happen, I mean, that's just one of them things that you just don't need to get hung up on and let it become such a great concern that you miss the whole point of what this story is telling you and I and what Jesus is teaching you and I. Because these people here, they failed to see the wonder working power of God. So when he had commanded them to come out, and he had asked the man his name, and they had requested to be placed into that herd of swine, and they take off running, you know, and go over the cliff and into the waters and drown and everything. Don't get caught up in trying to figure out and dissect all of that, or you'll do exactly really what the people, the Gadarene people do, because that's what they done. Now you see, Jesus here has healed this man. He has commanded that this evil spirit would come out of this demon-possessed man. And the next time that you read about and you find this man, you're going to find him. The Bible says that he is clothed. You're going to find that he says that the Bible tells you and I that he is sitting and he is listening to the teaching of Jesus. And then the other thing that it's going to tell us is that he's in his right mind. But none of those people there, none of those Gadarene people, none of them failed. Everyone failed to recognize what Jesus had performed and what Jesus had done in this man's life. They were concerned about were the pigs. And perhaps, maybe because it was money to them, whatever. But all the people, they just want to do this. They want to get rid of Jesus. Go on and read the story. They just begin to say, well, would you just please leave our area and leave this region for whatever reason. And so many times today, listen, God has worked a great work right there among those people, and they didn't want to experience it for themselves. They didn't want to experience the wonder working power of God. They didn't want to experience this Jesus who was able to transform lives fully, wholly, and completely. So many times today, people will witness the wonder-working power of God, and yet they choose to reject the Savior. They don't want to experience what God can do. They don't want to experience the realities of the power of God. They fail to see the man. They fail to see a man that was once, his life was driven by demons who had lived unclothed, been chained. And all of this has changed in his life now. And nobody wants to rejoice in that. They just want Jesus to leave. That's the way a lot of times the world views Christ, even today. The changes that he makes in people's lives and the things that he does to totally and completely change a person. And people see it and see that it's real, but yet they still don't want no part of this man Jesus. And that's exactly what the Gadarenes did. They didn't want no part of this man Jesus. And then it goes on in this story. You find where after he's been sitting down there and he's been talking with Jesus and listening to Jesus, he makes a request. He asked Jesus this. He said, Jesus, can I go with you? Can I just go and be with you? Now this is one of those things when you just read and you really don't think it through, you almost think, oh Lord, why would you send a man away? But he does. He tells him no. No, you can't go with me. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he tell this man no? Why would Jesus say to someone, no, you can't come with me? Because this was the first time that Jesus had entered into a region that was very counterculture to what he was used to. If this man comes back and crosses back over to the Sea of Galilee and comes back with Jesus and is just a follower of Jesus, what happens? None of those people there see the miracle. None of them hear the miracle. Oh, some people might tell the story or say something about it, but Jesus leaves this man there because of the fact that this man is a living testimony among his own people of the change that Christ made in his life. One of the greatest things that can happen in the world today is when you encounter those countercultural types, is to change and is for somebody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then they go and tell their friends and they share with them how they have been changed. Because you never know what the message will do and the impact that it will have when it actually comes from one of their own. Do you know sometimes there would be folks that just absolutely perhaps would not listen to you or to me, but if it comes from one of their own, there might be a greater chance that they would listen. And all of this is because Jesus works this uncommon encounter to the glory of God. And that's really what I want to leave with you and I today is, don't ever feel like when you're out in this world that you and I live in and we cross those boundaries sometimes that we have said, and so the boundaries that sometimes we think, you know, that we feel comfortable in. This would have been totally, I'm satisfied those disciples were way out of their comfort zone. Now Jesus could handle it. He could handle it. But those disciples, they were way out of comfort zone. And sometimes you and I, if we want to really be effective in the world, you got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to be willing to share with people. Like I said, you know, people can come and ask you for food all day long and you can hand them out food. Or they can ask for finances and you can hand them money. But if you don't tell them about the Savior, if you don't tell them about one that can radically change their lives, then as a Christian, we fail. Because that's what people need more than anything, is a radical change in their life. And Jesus offers that. He's the one that frees you from your sin. That's exactly what that man happened in his life. He's freed from his sin. Jesus is the one that'll clothe you in righteousness. And he'll bring you out from among the tombs. So I pray this morning, when we have these uncommon encounters, that we would take advantage of them. And I know there's times you have to be careful. Would I have sent a group of ladies with that man? Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't have done that at all. You always have to be, careful, you know, but do the right thing. I'm going to tell you one more just real little quick story, okay? Back when I was first married and we was living up there on Highway 20, right there on the Laddie Myers curve, if you're from around here, you know what I'm talking about. We was living right there and one night a man had I can't really remember if he'd run out of gas or if he'd had a wreck, but he'd come to my house at midnight, I guess, get up out of bed and go to the door, and he wants me to carry him somewhere. I think Destin, my oldest son, was born at the time. And of course, then he's, you know, no, you know. But I don't know. There's just always this thing that I just feel like the right thing's the right thing with me. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. At that time, I didn't own no handgun. I never want to shoot nobody. Don't get me wrong about that. But I guess I always kind of wanted to, you know that I had some kind of protection with me or something like that. So let me tell you what I done. I put on this long, big coat that I had, and it had the cuffs, you know, up in on the wristband. So this was back during the day when Rambo movies had come out. I did have one of them big old Rambo knives. So I stick it up my sleeve there, you know, and I'm going down the road driving, and then I got to thinking, you know, if I'd had a wreck or something, I'd probably slip my wrist and I'd have been the one laying there dying or something. Oh, but anyway, you know, don't ever do anything to endanger yourself, but do the right thing. And doing the right thing is reaching out to people that are different sometimes, that are very much countercultural to what we're used to, because that's what Jesus did. And that's how you and I should respond to people also. God bless you this morning is my prayer. Stand together if we would, please. If you're here today, if you are here, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, he'll cleanse you of your sins. He will clothe you in righteousness. He'll make you a changed person. Well, we get this song.